City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
On this lonely path I've chosen, like a house that's not a home. Sometimes when I feel I've had enough, and I feel like giving up, you will me to be all I can be. Now nothing can stop me. I believe in the power that comes.
And you're listening to Windy City Queercast, show number 353. I'm Amy Matheny.
Happy Olympics. This is Canadian Deb here.
You are a Canadian, eh?
I totally am, eh? I'm a Canuck.
You're a Canuck?
That's what we're called.
You're called Canucks?
It rhymes with, yes, we're Canucks.
That's so lesbian. You know, because Mitchell thinks all Canadians are lesbian. Like, lesbian means Canadian, so...
I think he's met a Canadian he's wanted to Canuck before, actually.
Yeah, you. Really. You're exactly his little type of lesbian.
Hi, Mitchell. Hi. Aww.
So, happy Olympics, because, you know, let's just be bitter down here in Chicago, since we're never going to know what it feels like to have an Olympics. But you all, well, it's not in Toronto. It's in Vancouver. Nope. What's the difference between Vancouver and Toronto in terms of the cities to you?
3 hours time difference. Yeah. Vancouver is, it's just kind of a smaller version of Toronto. It's maybe a little bit cleaner. And it's really, really a port city. Uh-huh. But not a whole lot. Prices are still like they're epicenters, right? So prices for homes and rentals are pretty much the same. Vancouver might be a little higher cause it's a bit smaller working with an island.
Yep.
But you know, it's all Canadian, so there's a certain sense of Canadian pride, you know, throughout Canada. It's a bit of a different way of living, though. Toronto, there's a bit of a rivalry. Toronto seems to be, you know, really urban, you know, head down, just getting to work, mm-hmm. you know, sort of a New York thing as opposed to an LA thing, which is more about wheatgrass and yoga and the ocean and stuff like that. So those are some of the differences, I think.
So Vancouver's like the LA of Canada. Yep. Toronto's like the New York of... I think Toronto's more like the Chicago of Canada, honestly.
It feels very similar to Chicago. That's true.
Yeah. So do you feel like the whole country's been super excited about this weekend and this time period of the Olympics actually happening?
Absolutely. We were gearing up. I mean, it feels like only yesterday in October where we really started kind of doing the countdown. I went a month and a half ago down the street to where the torch went through the downtown city that I live in Niagara. So, I mean, to have seen this momentum of the torch being finally, you know, brought there, and Jan Arden and Michael Bublé held it. Arnold Schwarzenegger held it on Friday. So, I mean, just the whole momentum for
Canada. We can still sage that torch after Schwarzenegger held it and clean that up for you guys.
Yeah, it might have a little Prop 8 something or other on it.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I got to tell you, I mean, I've always felt really proud to be Canadian. And when I meet Americans, and there are misconceptions and really ill-informed stereotypes about Canadians, I have an opportunity to, in my words, without being too serious, educate. We don't live in igloos. We don't all play hockey. We don't all drink beer. Yep. I have done all of those things, but it doesn't mean...
I was going to say, just because you do that doesn't mean everybody in Canada does that.
Just because my arse is stuck to a frozen slab of ice right now doesn't mean anyone else in Canada is.
Oh, but, how funny.
But there is a sense of awareness that I know when the world is looking at Canada, that it is a beautiful, majestic country. It's really mountainous, that area of it, the west side. And it's just as progressive as the United States, and even more so with human rights and awareness around same-sex in, you know, benefits and same-sex awareness and same-sex marriage. So I'm just really proud for the world to be looking at Canada and, you know, it being more progressive than people may have misperceptions around.
Well, in healthcare as well. I mean, I think in many areas we should be looking to our North American family members.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's, yeah, absolutely. It's proud. I'm proud.
So, but are the Winter Olympics, I mean, are they really sexy? I mean, are they half as gay as like synchronized swimming and diving and bodybuilding and volleyball, beach volleyball? I mean, are the Canucks going to bring the sexy back is what I'm wanting to know.
Okay. So you see, let's talk about a water polo game, really hot men. Okay. But they're in the pool, so you can't really see them. Let's just fast forward to the visual of two men or two women in absolutely skin tight. I mean, you can tell their religion. These outfits are so tight, lying on top of one another for the skeleton.
What's the skeleton?
It's where they lie on their backs and zoom down through the luge.
Oh.
Hi, what's hotter than that?
It's pretty hot. Where's the gay in the Olympics this year?
I got to tell you, for the first time, and I just spoke to Dean Nelson of Gay Whistler. It's a huge, huge party every year. He has done something, and the rain held off long enough for the grand opening for Pride House. It is the first ever Pride House associated with the actual Olympics. And it's right in the middle of all of the media tents is this huge gays and allies Pride House.
And what will they do there? What do they do in these houses?
Well, it's where homosexuals and bisexuals and people that identify with the LGBTQQ2SSA community can go to feel. There's an A now, allies.
There's always A. What was the 2-2? 90210 thing that you threw there in the middle.
There's a lot of two-spirited, queer questioning, blah, blah, blah. Can't get it. But that's a place for them to go where in sport, you know, a lot of people won't divulge their sexuality for sponsorship.
Right.
Or fear of not being picked up. But as non-professionals, like these athletes, I think that it's about time. And where better than Canada to embrace that kind of diversity through inclusion? I think it's really important that it exists, and I don't know what's going to come of it. I'm sure next time we'll talk, I'll talk about some, it'll be not shocking to our community, but some lesbian hockey player being seen at Pride House. Mm. I think it's amazing to exist, and I think it can only be progressive for the rest of the world to have their eyes on that.
Now, will there be a lot of parties, do you think, for the LGBT community as well?
Well, that's what I said. When I did the interview, we actually asked if there was going to be, you know, a disco ball next to everyone's snowboards and that kind of thing. There are events planned, but it's more just like a chalet for people to be in and feel comfortable and watch television, watching other sports and stuff. So more the camaraderie of sport, but they just happen to be queer identified.
Yeah, so that's a great website, gaywhistler.com. If you're heading to the Olympics or you're going to be in the Vancouver area over the next couple of weeks. Well, you know, there's so much more to talk about. The Olympics are just getting underway, so we'll probably talk in our next podcast about that as well. But it's cool to have a Canuck on the show to kind of kick them off.
Oh, Canada!
Was hot. and we're going to break because there's a lot of other news. And then we'll be back with Deb Pierce here on our Big O show, the Big Olympics.
I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. Illinois Republican gubernatorial candidate Bill Brady has proposed changing the state constitution to prohibit same-sex marriages. The ban would prohibit civil unions as well as marriages. Brady has also suggested limiting terms for state House and Senate members to 10 years and a two-thirds majority in the General Assembly to allow for sales or income tax increases.
In Rhode Island, State Representative Gordon Fox, age 48, is the first openly gay speaker of the state's House of Representatives. Fox received 51 of the 75 legislators' votes.
Thomas Beatty, who became known worldwide as the Pregnant Man in 2008, is expecting his third child. Beatty went through a decade of gender reassignment surgery before becoming pregnant the first time. The trans man, who kept his female reproductive system, had children in 2008 and 2009.
In New Hampshire, the House Judiciary Committee has recommended that two anti-same-sex marriage measures be terminated. One measure requested that the state's marriage equality law be repealed, while the other called for a public vote on the issue. The committee voted to kill both bills by a 2-to-1 margin.
In San Diego, two gay men who died in a murder-suicide have been identified as Eric Schulthies, 40, and Robert Paul Agnew, 41. The medical examiner's office determined that Schulthies sustained several gunshot wounds while Agnew committed suicide.
57% of respondents in a new poll conducted by Quinnipiac University feel that gays and lesbians should be allowed to serve openly in the military, and that 66% think don't ask, don't tell is discriminatory. However, 54% also said that gays in the military should face limits on displaying their orientation while serving.
San Francisco School Board has decided to fund a $120,000 support program for LGBTQ youth issues, despite a projected $113 million deficit. The school district would also have to monitor sexual orientation-based harassment and discrimination, as well as distribute educational packets to parents. Approximately 13% of the city's middle school and 11% of its high school students identify as LGBT.
The City Council of Chicago has designated the Lorraine Hansberry House and the Gwendolyn Brooks House official landmarks. Hansberry, the playwright who penned A Raisin in the Sun, joined the lesbian rights group Daughters of Bilitis in 1957 and later lived with other closeted lesbians in New York City's Greenwich Village. She died in 1965 at the age of 35. Feminist poet Brooks, who passed away in 2000 at the age of 83, was named the Library of Congress's poetry consultant in 1985.
In Bakersfield, California, trans woman Jackie Davis has been arrested for fatally stabbing boyfriend Arthur Arnold. However, Davis has claimed that she killed Arnold in self-defense after fighting while being under the influence of meth. "He lost it in his head and went crazy," said Davis, who was working as a prostitute when she was arrested. "I stabbed him to get him away from me. I am not a violent person," she said.
Services and advocacy for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender elders, SAGE, has received a $900,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The grant will be used to fund the National Technical Assistance Resource Center for LGBT elders, which will assist communities across the country in their efforts to provide services and supports for older LGBT people.
In world news, British fashion designer Alexander McQueen apparently hanged himself in his London home on February 11th, the eve of his mother's funeral. McQueen, who was 40, had a reputation as an enfant terrible, but changed fashion in various ways, including using a double amputee as a runway model and employing unconventional designs.
Laura Chinchilla, Costa Rica's first female president, does not necessarily stand behind the idea of same-sex marriage, although she is supposedly willing to fight for equal rights for gays and lesbians. In a video, she said, "We defend the right of all Costa Ricans, independently of their sexual preferences, to have the protection of the state and of the institutions, and to have access to the different opportunities that Costa Rican society offers." However, she added, "There are different ways other than marriage to guarantee homosexual couples the right to the patrimony of their partner, to patrimonial rights, to political rights, to civil rights."
In Russia, a court has sentenced Mikhail Kirilnik, who is 26, to jail for 23 years for the murders of two men he met online. Kirilnik was invited to his victims' homes after meeting them on the internet in January of 2009. He then attacked them with a knife and a hammer, killing two men and injuring a third.
In Northern Ireland, Sean Fitzpatrick may have been killed because of his sexual orientation. Fitzpatrick was found dead 2 years ago in an alleyway. Two men are being tried for the killing.
In Ireland, gay Catholic Bishop Pat Buckley, 57, was supposed to marry Filipino boyfriend Eduardo Yango until Yango got cold feet and decided to put off the marriage. Buckley would have been the first gay Catholic cleric to marry and continue to practice. Buckley said that extensive media coverage contributed to Yango's decision.
The United Kingdom's only gay bookstore, Gays the Word, may close soon after recently receiving word that its rent is increasing by 25%. The shop faced the same fate 3 years ago after a similar rent increase. However, celebrity fans such as actor Sir Ian McKellen agreed to sponsor bookshelves, saving the store.
In entertainment news, Oscar-winning actress Kate Winslet is starring in the remake of the Joan Crawford classic Mildred Pierce. Out director Todd Haynes will helm the five-hour HBO production, an adaptation of the novel by James M. Cain.
Actress Portia de Rossi, who's married to Ellen DeGeneres, plans to write a tell-all autobiography. She will discuss her battle with an eating disorder. She said, "It'll be published in the fall. It will deal with all the secrets that nearly killed me. Nobody can really get inside the anorexic's mind like the anorexic."
Actress Anne Hathaway revealed that she left the Catholic Church after her brother came out of the closet. The Devil Wears Prada star said, "The whole family converted to Episcopalian after my elder brother came out. Why should I support an organization that has a limited view of my beloved brother?"
Kathy Najimy is making history as the orthodontist who removes the title character's braces on the TV series Ugly Betty. Najimy will be on the show's March 24th episode, less than a month before the series finale.
And England's Prince Harry has been named a top gay icon. Harry, who's 6'3", has been admired for everything from his washboard abs to his red hair, which a gay magazine columnist described as becoming very, very trendy in the gay scene. In addition, Harry kissed a male fan on the cheek in exchange for a beer last November, earning him even more gay fans. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. I wasn't pleased about the degain of the Valentine's Day trailer following in the wake of the degain of the Single Man and Taking Woodstock trailers. This isn't a wonderful trend, folks, but I sort of understood with Valentine's Day because the gay couple, played by Bradley Cooper and Eric Dane, is a surprise reveal that comes at the conclusion of the movie. But 8 months before the movie's opening in April of 2009, even Cooper knew about the reveal when I chatted with him during the Hangover press junket, though he admitted disappointment over it. Now that I've seen the movie, however, I'm not just okay with the trailer being degayed. I recommend that gay couples everywhere celebrate that their relationships were not part of the couple's clusterfuck that is Gary Marshall's latest quote-unquote joyful, quote-unquote exuberant, quote-unquote heartfelt comedy. And yeah, the quote marks are on the tip-off that this is the latest round of processed cheese from Marshall, who once again proves that he is the master of the out-of-date rom-coms and the wizard of watered-down and uninspired laughs. This movie about love is so loveless, so sure that its intended audience will fall for it, that it fairly drips with calculated cynicism. MGM used to boast that they had more stars than there are in heaven under contract, and that's the gimmick for this star-stuffed traffic pile-up. Everyone from Jessica Alba to Taylor Swift has been crammed into Catherine Fulgate's script, which seems to have been dictated via Twitter. Not one of the stories resonates or lands, and the misuse of stars left, right, below the belt is jaw-dropping. and the gay subplot with Eric Dane and Bradley Cooper is particularly offensive in its calculation. The producers apparently ordered Catherine Fulgate to use the lyrics in the title of Cole Porter's Love for Sale as her template when writing, to wit, old love, new love, any love but true love. That's Valentine's Day, all right, a perfect movie personification of the holiday, crass, commercial, and guaranteed to make $1 zillion off the love-struck masses. Ugh. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Live the fairy tale with the Joffrey Ballet's Cinderella. Only the Joffrey brings Sir Frederick Ashton's Cinderella back to America. The Chicago Tribune calls it a wonderland for adults and a surefire delight for kiddies. Glorious dancing and a magnificent score by Sergei Prokofiev. Buy your tickets before the clock strikes midnight. Cinderella at the Auditorium Theater February 17th through the 28th. Call 800-982-2787 or order online at Ticketmaster.com now.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of February 15th, 2010, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Lifeline Theater continues its 27th anniversary main stage season with a world premiere adaptation of Rachel Engel's postmodern fable, Mrs. Caliban. Thursday through Sundays through March 28th. For more, visit lifelinetheater.com.
The Harris Theater hosts two of Broadway's biggest names in March. Stephen Sondheim celebrates his 80th birthday during a special audience Q&A and conversation with Gary Griffin on March 4th. And Tony Award-winning actress Christine Ebersole performs a concert of Broadway favorites one night only, March 25th. Tickets are going fast. Visit harristheaterchicago.org.
A rock and roll adventure explodes in The Who's Tommy. With rock concert staging by Jeff Award-nominated director Jeff Button, don't miss this electrifying production. February 18th through March 7th at the Theater and Interpretation Center at Northwestern University in Evanston. For tickets, visit tic.northwestern.edu.
About Face Theater presents the long-anticipated production of What Once We Felt, written by Anne-Marie Healy and directed by Chrissy Vanderwerger at the Center on Halsted, playing now through March 6th. Visit aboutfacetheater.com for tickets.
Court Theater presents The Year of Magical Thinking, based on award-winning novel by Joan Didion and starring Mary Beth Fisher. A fiercely intelligent, courageous, and witty exploration of loss. For tickets or information about The Year of Magical Thinking, visit courttheater.org.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical Million Dollar Quartet. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com.
The brother-sister plays by out playwright Terrell Alvin McCraney is the theatrical event of the Chicago winter, says the Tribune. Three interconnected plays directed by Tina Landau, which the New York Times raves, you experience something rare, a new, authentically original vision. Visit Steppenwolf.org for tickets to the brother-sister plays.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Cheyenne Jackson, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
Well, I believe in my soul, and I'm going home. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Move it, move up. When the slave is over, I'll stick my soul in the sand. I'll go on home to Jesus over in the glory land. I'll move up to the sky.
So, Deb, I'm calling this the Big O Show, the Big Olympics, and I need to talk about the other Big O.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that other
Yeah, not that big O, but the Oprah, the O factor here in the States. Are you a fan of the Oprah Winfrey? Do you watch the Oprah Winfrey?
To be honest with you, Amy Matheny, I was until she had a seven-year-old on the week, days after she was in a terrible accident where she watched her best friend die. And
what?
I thought, no more can I watch you, Oprah. You have become sensationalistic, just as Dr. Phil is now becoming Jerry Springer. I find a lot of her show choices really sensationalistic and not Oprah styling at all. I feel like I'm not going to say bottom of the barrel, but I'm going to say that her standard of appropriate is gone.
Oh, really? And you think this is a new thing?
I do think this is a new thing. It's a progressive thing. And ever since this poor girl had to, you know, she was asked to be on Who Says No to Being on Oprah, and the post-traumatic stress that this child was under to talk about this mother who was driving drunk and her friend died, and it's just so hard to watch. And then last week, there was a tranny on there who now identifies as female, and on the bottom of the screen says, born a boy.
Yep, that was just on, yep.
And Oprah's like, you know, people will come back and she'll ask these questions, and she'll call herself on being ignorant and ill-informed, but then kind of in a mocking manner as opposed to an apologetic manner. And I think in 2010, I think she's not as shocked as she feigns to be, I think.
This is my truth. Okay, because I'm bringing this up for two reasons. Well, but you're bringing me into a third. So we're going to have three little Oprah points here.
Three O's in a row.
Three O's. And I am multi-O. I really choose to be that way. Because I like Oprah, but my girlfriend and I have these arguments when we're on the couch, because I agree, and you're on the radio, and I've been on the radio, now I'm podcasting, and you play a role, which is you ask the basic questions that your audience wants to know, and even though you and I may have press releases, and we could just read the press release and tell the whole story, or we've read the person's entire book, you have a guest on so they can tell their story and answer these questions, right?
Yep.
But Oprah has had a show for 24 years.
Yep.
And she's had trans people on before. Let's just use this case of yours.
Sure.
But always around gay issues, trans, lesbian, gay issues, she does feign some sort of ignorance. And I'm like, really? You have a staff full of gay people. You've done a lot of interviews, and even though that doesn't make me an expert, after 10 years of talking to a lot of people, I have some information. Unlike, you know, I don't have to play ignorant, but I also don't have to play arrogant. I can lead the guest into a question that lets them be the expert. That's my job.
I agree more, and she'll back herself up by assumptions and saying, you know I'm not the only person in America listening right now that feels this way, that this is just a bit weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. And I know what you're referencing, because she was just saying, like, her best guy friend meeting her for the first time as Kimberly and not as Paul. And it is. I mean, I think any red-blooded person would say it was weird. It was odd.
Okay,
it was unexpected.
It's okay for him to say that as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, for her to hop on that to amplify and mimic that weirdness is not her. It's not necessarily her place, although she is probably personalizing it. Maybe if Gail said, you know what, I want you to call me Gary, maybe she will think that she would think that was weird. I got to tell you, a lot of people would win some side bets of $20 though here and there.
Well, this is the news story. You know, the news story, a friend of mine who's straight said to me a week ago, said, you know what's going to happen? Everybody's saying that Oprah's going to come out in 2 years. And I'm like, what? And she said, yeah, Oprah's going to come out after she finishes her show. And I said, who did you hear that from? And she goes, it's all in the hairdresser circle that people are talking about this. And I, of course, I'm not a gossip, but I came home and told Kelly that. Now I'm telling all of you that, so I guess I'm a huge gossip. But anyhow, But it was also all over the Inquirer, you know, and it has been, but it recently has been all on our tabloids about her and Gail, blah, 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 blah. You know, Miss Cleo even said in her predictions this year that some African-American woman is going to come out and it's not who you think and it's going to be unexpected and blah, 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 blah.
Well, it's not Queen Latifah.
Well, that wouldn't be unexpected. God, you see her girlfriend. Her girlfriend was with her at that thing on the BET Awards. Anyhow, so, but here's the thing. If Oprah did that.
Yep.
I almost would beg her not to do that in some weird way because she has been talking. I mean, and she even in this interview that we're talking about with, I can't remember the woman's last name, Kimberly something. She's done a documentary called Prodigal Sons, and I do want to give her a plug because I thought she was very well spoken.
And beautiful.
And beautiful and a cool story and is living in a lesbian relationship, and that's new. I mean, there were some new things that was in this story.
And not only did she transition after high school, but she was the high school quarterback and everybody wanted to date Paul in high school. Like, was that blonde?
He was adorable.
A kind of quarterback guy. Yeah, he was that all-American guy that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so the movie's called Prodigal Son, so I highly recommend checking that out, and I'm going to try to. But if Oprah came out, how devastating that she constantly... It would literally eradicate, to me, like, her whole life. I mean, 25 years of what I can... Well, I think it would eradicate 25 years of what I consider her ministry. Because I do believe she calls it a calling, and she talks about authenticity. She raked James Fry over the coals with Million Little Pieces. Right. She said to this trans woman, you know, about, well, when we become our authentic self, blah, 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 when we don't live the lie, when we live our truth. I mean, I don't get a gay vibe from her. Gail? I get a really gay vibe for. It's kind of strange. I get more of a gay vibe from Gail.
Well, that's because Gail's a little bit butch.
Gail's a little butch. But I do believe...
Start calling her Gary.
But I do believe that Gail probably is just a gay man trapped in a woman's body. I actually do think she likes men. But I don't get a gay vibe from Oprah. Now, Stedman's a whole different deal, so I don't understand...
He's a little bit gay.
He's a lot gay. I don't understand how they're together or how that operates, but I am just telling you, for her to come out would be the biggest, most devastating thing.
I would sit here and I would support her because I would support anyone that had the courage.
I would too.
So, and you would too, and I know you would.
I would.
There would be so many questions, and it would almost be worth it for her not to. There is a woman that I impersonate in Canada. Her name's Anne Murray. She's a big, you know, snowbird here. So, and I know she's, you know, she's been to America, but it's pretty much known that she's gay. And yet, generationally, in this example, she will never come out. Right. And I don't think she, I don't want to say I don't think she can at this point, but we've set it up.
Well,
to a degree.
But let me just say, with somebody like her, or even with Lily Tomlin, you know, Lily Tomlin and I have talked about this, and that generation, yes, I get it, but those people are not on a talk show, really, whose mission of the talk show is to peel back the layers of humanity, to get people to talk about and expose their truth, to, you know, all of her stuff about living your best life and living authentically and... living your truth. And then for her to come out, I mean, I don't know. It makes all perfect sense. Her struggles with weight, you know, her...
She got married. She doesn't have kids. Her best friend and her are significantly more referenced than Stedman and her.
Yeah. I mean, it makes some sense, but I don't know. People, you guys can post your comments what you think. And people have been saying, you know, my straight friends always say to me, like, you know... Is Oprah gay? And I'm like, I don't think so. Because why? And she's even said, and so has Gail, like, if we were gay, wouldn't we just say we were gay? Like, why wouldn't we say we were gay?
Well, maybe they're non-sexual gays. Maybe they're emotional affair gays.
It's a Boston marriage. That's what we call it. The other thing I have to say about Oprah is she has asked for her birthday, because we all haven't given her enough by being, you know, increasing her viewership over 24 years and buying every book she tells us to buy and doing everything else she tells us to do. She is asking people to sign a no phone zone in their cars, and especially around not texting and driving.
Which is officially illegal in Ontario now. $155 fine for doing anything remote on your hands-free device.
Yeah. What do you mean anything remote on your hands? You mean
nothing, no texting, no internet, no talking.
You can't talk on the phone in a car unless you have Bluetooth, or even with Bluetooth.
Bluetooth is okay.
Okay. Well, this is the thing. She wants people not to talk with Bluetooth. And
did you hear that with Lisa Ling? She's like,
yes!
I want to commit to that. And Lisa's like, without saying it, like, I'm kind of a big deal doing a lot of business while I'm traveling and driving.
Yeah. And this is my thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was so horrified. I was so proud of Lisa Ling, A, that Oprah cornered her and outed her on television.
Bullied her.
And then I wanted Lisa to turn to her and go, Oprah, I'll do that when you drive your own car.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted her to say, you know, because it's easy if you put your purse in the back seat of the car, Oprah, if that's where you ride. But
and Oprah, do you really think that you're making those contacts as a journalist like Lisa Ling's doing? Or do you come to work every day and your food is there and your paperwork is there and your show prep is there and your lineup's there? And, you know, if someone could go to the washroom for you, they probably would.
Yeah. I think it's so out of touch with reality.
It's privileged.
It's so privileged, and it's so arrogant. And I understand her not wanting people to text. And I think Lisa Ling said, I won't text. I will definitely sign that. But, you know, I have hands-free Bluetooth. I paid a couple of $1,000 extra in my car to have that little navigational system put in so I can talk in my car. But, you know, I was talking with a friend about this today, and I said, what the fuck am I supposed to talk to you? You're sitting in my passenger seat. Like, what's the diff? You know?
Yeah, you're right. And that's why Bluetooth is okay. I just put a stereo in my car yesterday that has Bluetooth reception. It's perfect. And I mean, as much time as I spend in my car commuting to the city and back, it's perfect. And I wouldn't even think to do it now. Have I texted and drive? I drove, absolutely.
Okay.
I've probably texted you while I've been driving.
Well,
but not anymore.
Not anymore. Unless your car is off, you're parked, or, you know, that's the reason you're in your car. Now, while we're talking about talk show hosts.
Was that three O's?
Those were the three O's.
Okay, hold on. Okay.
We don't smoke anymore, so we just have to exhale.
Yeah.
So Ellen DeGeneres, the other talk show host, lesbian, besides you, me, Oprah, would be Ellen. And Ellen is now officially on American Idol. Are you watching?
I absolutely am. And I watched her when she was talking about being on it. And I was very excited. And now that I see her on it, I am really proud of the way she's handling it, because she's not compromising who she is too much, but she's not feigning to be a music producer or an expert. I think she's the ideal judge to represent, and in this example, I'll give America, because we get it up here in Canada too when we got TVs. But she represents the people sitting, you know, that we talked about the Olympics, the armchair athletes. She is representing you and I screaming at the TV going, they're terrible, or that was weird.
Yeah.
I like when she says it's weird. That was weird. You have to know that was weird. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's another one that I've been kind of worried, because I feel like she's gotten really cocky and on her regular show. And I guess I
hear that, too. You're right. I hear that, too.
And I mean, I know she jokes about she's going for world domination, but I feel there's an air of cockiness that maybe it's an act. Maybe it's her new shtick, but I don't really like it.
My co-host Patrick feels exactly the same way you do, and he parallels it and does an action where she's climbing up a ladder, and with her elbows she's like, nice to meet you, and then, you know, kind of moves them out of the way with their elbow, and then the other side of her, you know, talking out of both sides of her face, just being a little bit too opportunistic and a little bit too, maybe it's since she became a vegan, she's a bit holier than thou, maybe she just doesn't feel like she can do wrong.
I don't know, but it's a bit of the Oprah-ism that she doesn't need to take from Oprah. She can take some of her watchers here in a year, but she doesn't need to take that. Because what has always been so great about Ellen is her humility. And something's changing. There's two things I don't like about Ellen. That she feigns talking about kind of being an alcoholic. I don't enjoy that. I don't think that's fun because I think she has a lot of young listeners. And if she mentioned it once in a blue moon, it'd be one thing. But just watch how many times she references being drunk or drinking or alcohol.
Yep.
And she's on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not a prude. And believe you me, we have beer sponsors and liquor sponsors and in a bar. And when I'm at an event, I'm happy to push Sky Vodka, Bacardi, Bacardi Rum, Miller Lite. I love it, you know, but I don't want it to be pushed or laughed at or minimized to me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
And it also, you know, the implication is having a cup of courage, really. Sometimes the inference is excusable behavior because of it. If we really were to dissect it, I've said that at 8 o'clock in the morning when I've said something preposterous and I'll recant it as saying, oh, it must be the tequila. Which, of course, it isn't. And if I say it once every couple of months, it's kind of a blow-off because people know, of course, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
We don't know, of course, she wouldn't do that, but our assumption is she wouldn't.
It's just weird around her whole veganism and being healthy. And I know she might say I'm just making a joke, but I'm sensitive to it. I think it's weird. It's like that weird dichotomy that it feels... I don't know. It was like I don't watch her regularly. I just miss the show. But the other day, even Demi Moore was on. And of course, I go, Auga, because she's just a guilty pleasure. And Ellen kind of co-opted David Letterman's thing of spritzing the perfume into her mouth and on her tongue. And I was like, you know, which is the way Dave would do that, or Dave would drink something, or he would swig alcohol, like he would just down like a ball of alcohol if it was there to cook with on the table. And you know, it's a funny bit, but it's Dave Letterman's bit. It's kind of not your bit at 2 o'clock. We don't need you to be that kind of funny. And it's not that I want to pigeonhole her and say you can only be funny this way, but it rings false to me. And so Ellen, just be who you are. Like, stop trying to be all things for all people. Don't you have enough of the pie is kind of what I want to say.
So to speak.
Oh, goodness. Well, Deb, you what?
I just want to say really quickly on a positive note about Ellen, she must have a new dresser because her outfits used to be horrible, disgusting, terrible. Her hair was never good. Now her hair's cute and she wears little vests and she's looking a little bit better. So maybe there's a direct parallel before we close off on this one of being married Ellen as opposed to non-married Ellen. Maybe that's the line.
Yeah,
the
I don't know. Well, we're going to hear, as we just heard in our news, we're going to hear the Portia tell all, so we'll kind of get a better understanding of Mrs. DeGeneres, but I don't know. I think it's just fame. And I think Lady Gaga and the Fame Monster said it best. And I really just think, don't become a monster. You do not have to become all things to all people. And you can stay true to yourself. And I still wish success for her. You know, I still wish the good new things. Though I disagree with you, I thought her outfit was horrible on her first appearance of Idol. I was like, who dressed you in denim head to toe with construction boots? You look like one of the fucking village people.
I don't mean on Idol. I mean on her show. She's got a new dresser. I don't think she's got a dresser for Idol.
Well, gay men out there who are in Hollywood, somebody volunteer. If somebody could volunteer to dress Ellen DeGeneres, and please, gay men, you can come out in a posse. I'll even serve you some alcohol, and I can say that. I'll set you up with some beautiful Sky Vodka if some of you guys will dress Meryl Streep. Come on, please. Can she just look like a fucking knockout and become the diva that she is? And rightfully... Or she needs to co-op Helen Mirren. Well, Helen Mirren's up for an award, too. Maybe they could just get a two-for-one and have the same dresser and make them both look 60 and fabulous because Meryl deserves it. So
amazing. I'm watching Big Love. Wow, she's great.
Who?
Big Love. She's on Big Love.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is.
Meryl Streep is not on Big Love.
Sissy Spacek. I get them mixed up, those two.
How do you get Meryl Streep and Sissy Spacek? Only a Canuck could get Sissy Spacek.
Listen, I get marshmallows and mushrooms mixed up, so you've got to bear with.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Meryl Streep, you're right.
One is a Polish woman choosing between her two children in Auschwitz. The other one is a coal miner's daughter. These two are not like the other. At all.
Which one was that?
One is covered in blood at her prom, and one has a hole shot through her and death becomes her. They are not the same person. Oh my God, I love you, Deb Pierce. You make me laugh. It's been so good to be with Deb Pierce, our Canadian, aka lesbian. And we hope you have fun up there in Canada and get to enjoy all the Olympic fever that we are enjoying down here in the States as well.
Yeah, good luck, America, unless you're playing us, and then eat it!
Eat it! Well, I'm sure you guys will win curling. You always do. So, so everybody, tune in for our next show where I'm going to be talking about something so important for the GLBT community. And it's also sexy. It's sexy to be counted for. And I'm talking about the U.S. Census. We actually are going to finally get really accounted for. And I'm going to talk to you about it, how you can be a part of it, maybe you, how you can help count, and also to just be counted. So the U.S. Census on the next show. And I hope everybody enjoys the games. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.